Hello, everyone. I'm Colin Tester of WrestleZone.com, joined by JC, Just Incredible, John Clark. John, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm doing good as well, even though it's Monday night and we just sat through a, I always hate to say slog fest because that's a little harsh, but it's Raw. It's 3 hours. It's a trip. And before I break it down, just want to remind you all that this show, like everything we do here at WrestleZone, is available on any number of streaming services, whether it's SoundCloud, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, whatever it may be. Leave a like, subscribe, show your support. We definitely appreciate it. So, John, tonight, the main event, Charlotte Flair, Asuka, a WrestleMania main event. It would be more special if they hadn't run it back a couple times last year, but still a good match here. Two of the very best in the game. You know, hard to complain too much when you get that. And of course, you got Rhea Ripley as an X factor in there as well. And clearly, it seems like they're building to a triple threat match here. And I left tonight kind of leaving fairly certain of that, where we had Rhea Ripley play into the outcome of this one. She distracted Charlotte, kind of got up on the apron there, broke up the figure eight submission hold. And then it looked like Charlotte was going to win. And then Asuka rolled her up because of that distraction. And then that wasn't even the big takeaway. Then Charlotte started beating the crap out of a referee. She snapped, John. She lost her mind. And then then she attacked another referee. And that was the close. The takeaway here is that Charlotte's going crazy in her goal to win the woman's title. And I don't know what to think about it. What do you think, John?
It was definitely very intriguing, and the reason I say that is because I don't think we've really seen something like, at least to that extent, in a long time. I mean, we've had instances in the past couple months where maybe a referee has been shoved. Specifically, I know Braun Strowman did it, and I think Drew McIntyre did it once as well. But to the extent of actually like just pounding on one while the others just watch, like, and try to yell, but that never works. It's a unique direction. It looks like Rhea and Asuka are going to both be baby faces in this match, with Charlotte being the heel. I don't see any scenario in which Charlotte wins, although maybe she does pin like Asuka and steal one or something. I think it's going to be interesting how it plays out, because I think what's happening here is, after we get through WrestleMania Backlash, I think they're going to start kind of phasing out Asuka out of this, and it's going to turn into like a summer thing where it'll be Charlotte and then Rhea, kind of a one-on-one thing over the summer. But what do you think?
I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, that's a good way to kind of prolong this, you know, keep Asuka in there, and then you kind of maximize this, you know, revenge feud, I guess, of Charlotte and Rhea. Of course, we saw last year, Charlotte beat Rhea at WrestleMania, took her NXT title, and we got to see a little feud there on NXT, but nothing really beyond that. And then, you know, of course, all the rumors that Rhea Ripley was going to get called up last year, that didn't happen. And now finally she's on the main roster. Now Charlotte's in there as well. So that would make a lot of sense. It's April now. I don't know how long they can stretch this out. And Backlash is next month. Then you probably have Money in the Bank, Extreme Rules as well, and then SummerSlam. Not sure if we can stretch all the way to SummerSlam, but you can definitely get a good stretch out of this. And I think that's a great way to, I think we talked about it last week, just kind of pretty quickly build Rhea Ripley up as this legitimate player. I mean, she came out tonight on commentary. I should say, once she came out for her entrance, you just star power. That is just like written all over her. You know, every time she comes out there, she definitely does add
the situation they're in, because of how they did kind of push back WrestleMania 2 weeks this year. It's interesting because it appears that after WrestleMania Backlash is really when the Charlotte and Rhea one-on-one thing is really going to get started. So if you think about Money in the Bank and Extreme Rules, because usually a program like that is good for at least two pay-per-views. But then you think, well, if they get the whole way to Extreme Rules, then the next one is SummerSlam. So it's almost like, do you just prolong it an extra month? Do you somehow work it in there where maybe there's an quote unquote injury somewhere, or maybe even a suspension somewhere, where, I mean, and when it's a title match like this, it's hard to do the 50-50 booking, because you don't want to just switch the title back and forth. Cause I was going to say, you could have maybe Rhea win Money in the Bank, or like Charlotte winning Extreme Rules, and then the payoff is at SummerSlam. But with the contenders that Raw really truly has right now, unless maybe like a Becky or a Ronda were to come back, and let's not forget that Alexa Bliss has made it clear tonight that she's very much going to be in this picture as well. Interesting to see what the SummerSlam match is, because if you had to predict at this very moment what, we're almost pretty much exactly 4 months away from it. If you had to predict, what is that match going to be? I think a lot of people would probably say Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley, but I mean, obviously you have Alexa Bliss is going to be want to be in the picture along with others, including Asuka as well. So we're a little bit far away from that yet, but as things stand now, and like you mentioned with the triple threat coming up, I think me and you were on the same page that Rhea just doesn't lose this, right?
No, at least this feud, I think there's definitely some merit to the idea that they're going to want to put on as big of a match as they can at SummerSlam, and I don't know what that would be. I don't want to fuel the Becky Lynch speculation. There's a definite wild card. There's just really no way to know. Even if you say, oh, she had the baby in December, and maybe you think that she could be ready by August. I don't know. If that's off the table, let's assume at this, just for realism at this point, I think they can definitely build Alexa Bliss up enough. If even and I argue that they have. We saw Alexa Bliss face Asuka back in January, and I thought that she was they're gonna get the title then. And she didn't. So then, and we haven't really seen Alexa in the title scene since then. So I have to think that that would be a pretty good contingency plan if Becky Lynch, if Ronda Rousey, if these other things that seem to be on the table don't ultimately come to fruition. I think that'd be a pretty darn good, a pretty good way to go about it anyway. I'm looking forward to this triple threat match. I think it'll be great. I think this is the best that Raw could do for the women's division at this point. Put your three top stars out there and just let them go at it. They're all immensely talented. And, like we've been saying, we've seen Charlotte and Rhea. We've seen Charlotte and Asuka. We've seen, and now 2 weeks in a row, 2 weeks in a row, we saw Asuka and Rhea Ripley put them on together. That's, to combine a fresh matchup. So I'm excited to see how that happens. We've still got a couple of weeks kind of to see how that unfolds. It is interesting, like you said, where, Rhea seems to be kind of the babyface now, even though once she was kind of brought up in this WrestleMania program with Asuka, it was pretty clear she was the heel. She turned on her during a tag team match. It seemed to be that's where they're going. And then Charlotte comes back and she's the uber heel. So there's definitely an interesting dynamic there where it's kind of like, if not a gray area, then maybe even just a kind of a quick switch from like face heel back to face now for Rhea Ripley. That is interesting to kind of see. I do like this comment from DJ Cassier wondering if Charlotte attacking the referees is kind of symbolic of her leaning towards being the dirtiest player in the game, like her father, Ric Flair. I think there might be something to that, or that she, I guess I viewed it more like she was so desperate for this win over the former women's champion Asuka that she snapped. I think that was kind of the way that I looked at it, the way that it was seen to be framed. But I do like maybe, I mean, a lot of times WWE, there's so much like unspoken subtleties and things that like they kind of want, it seems like they want you to take away, where it's like even if they don't say this, as DJ Cassier is saying, that there's some truth to it anyway. I do want to get your thoughts, John. Herman Dekar here saying that he misses Samoa Joe on commentary. I do as well. I noticed that. But I will say this week, kind of unlike last week, especially I'll say like by the time hour two hit, I kind of went like ear blind where I heard Corey Graves more. And I guess it just I got used to it. That's kind of the big takeaway from my take on the commentary team. We
Well,
saw
there's a
what do you think?
reason for well, there's a reason for that for sure, and it's because Corey Graves was talking more as the show went on. I noticed that even though he's not the lead guy, he kind of slowly was into that role, and you could kind of tell like whenever like certain camera angles would show parts of the commentary table, you could clearly tell that Graves was kind of like trying to direct work on what to do, when to say certain things by pointing or tapping on them to say something. I noticed at WrestleMania a lot that that's kind of what they do a lot, is they'll kind of like nudge each other to like say, like, I'm finishing my point, and then you pick up on it. But what I thought you were going to say when you mentioned hour two was that it got better, because I did think that as the show went on, it did get a little better. And what I mean by that is it didn't sound as forced, scripted, or unnatural. Now, granted, we know the show is scripted, but a lot of people don't understand that not the commentary isn't really necessarily scripted. The commentary is basing their reactions off of what they're seeing on TV, and they're supposed to watch the monitors and all that stuff. But to your point of missing Samoa Joe, I actually miss Tom Phillips more.
Yeah.
I think Tom Phillips was great. He was great in the role. He has the voice for it. Like I said last week, I really want to give it at least a month before I give a final judgment. But he does not have many friends in the Twitter world right now, and I honestly haven't really. I could probably count on one hand how many positive things I've said about him. Besides, let's give him a couple more weeks. But just generally, like, I haven't really seen anybody praising him for good commentary or good work. So it's definitely interesting to see. But I don't know. What do you think about this commentary team? I mean, obviously Graves and Saxon know their way; they're good. But without a lead guy, I mean, the color commentators are kind of useless without a consistently reliable, key guy. And I think they're too far into it now to just go back and have Tom Phillips show up next week, especially because they basically brought this guy in from MLB, ESPN, all that stuff, and signed him for this job. And Michael Cole was basically the one who was like, this is the guy for the job. So maybe they understood he's going to need a couple weeks to get adjusted. But I mean, where do you stand on this if we go another month, say, and it hasn't gotten any better? What do you think?
I mean, you never see WWE like do something and, or I won't say never. You rarely see them do something and say, this isn't working. Let's do something else. I think I joked last week, either on the show or where I was talking in the Slack channel or something, but someone asked me if the Pat Mac it was about the SmackDown move, if the Pat McAfee move was permanent or not. And I was like, oh, it's permanent until they inevitably change it in like 2 months. It's WWE, right? They sometimes they'll change things, at a whim, and other times they'll kind of just keep rolling with it anyway. And that's fine. I think we're both on the same page about trying to give an Enverk the benefit of the doubt. Again, the guy that had a good a great career as a baseball broadcaster. Now he's in wrestling. And that's an adjustment, obviously. Like you go from a sport that's natural competition and a more conventional sport into this wacky world of pro wrestling. Anybody's in a it's hard to have that adjustment, and especially like the fact is, or if not the fact, the general sentiment seems to be a lot of people like Samoa Joe, friend of the show Nando here, saying Joe was doing a great job and now he's gone. So inevitably it's almost like whoever stepped into that role, they had a high bar to live up to.
Which,
And
I mean, essentially, that was Corey Graves, if you think about it, as far as Samoa Joe's role goes, which Corey Graves is good. I mean, I thought he was going to do both shows. It was a big shocker to me whenever they announced on Friday that he was going to be gone from SmackDown. I'm not complaining by any means because I like Pat, but Graves being on Raw, I'm not sure if Graves just wasn't really interested in being a lead guy or if he doesn't think he was the right man for that, but I just hope it gets better. I'll leave it at that.
And I think it will. I think it's fair. I do want to call attention to this. We were just talking about Charlotte Flair here. DJ Cassier saying they announced on Raw Talk that Charlotte was suspended indefinitely and fined $100,000. Definitely a way, seemingly, to extend this feud. We have, I believe, just under a month until WrestleMania Backlash at this point. So that, let's assume this is a week or two if she actually is suspended and this isn't just like a way for her to show up anyway. That this is easily a way for to circle back to that Asuka Rhea Ripley feud, and then on the home stretch to the pay-per-view, then you bring in Charlotte Flair again. And like we were saying a couple minutes ago, this is, again, a way to extend this feud where you don't immediately kind of tire out the dynamic of Charlotte and Rhea Ripley, and you focus on the three-pronged approach here. So, yeah, that makes sense. Obviously, she attacked an official. You have to assume that she get punished for it. We saw this a very similar thing. My mind went to a couple months ago. I think it was last summer. Nia Jax attacked Pat Buck, another official, and she got suspended and quote unquote indefinitely. And she was back shortly thereafter. Or I think she even just apologized, and then nothing really came of it. But you know, it's just a way for them to kind of extend this. So another big takeaway from tonight was Dominik Dijakovic or T-Bar and Mace or D.L. Madden. They got unmasked, and I did not expect it to go down this way. Basically, Drew McIntyre wanted revenge for last week, where John, you and I talked about it. It seemed like Mace and T-Bar were new members of the Hurt Business, and you know, they attacked Drew McIntyre to seemingly as the kind of like hired guns, or like again that kind of unclear direction of hired guns or members of the Hurt Business. And then this week McIntyre wanted revenge, so he faced them in a handicap match, and he was outnumbered, put up a good fight. You know, he's a strong former champion, but the numbers game overcame him. So Braun Strowman came to the rescue. Now, it is worth pointing out, Braun Strowman had been scheduled to face Randy Orton. We'll talk about Randy Orton's match in a minute. But Braun Strowman wound up coming to the rescue, facing, teaming up with Drew McIntyre, facing these former Retribution guys in a tag team match. Very, very Teddy Long style here, where he got the run for the save, turned into a tag team match. But then rather than, you know, a pin or either way, you know, no nothing too decisive, Mace and T-Bar got their masks ripped off, and these two guys, McIntyre and Strowman, just clobbered them with their own masks, and the referee ruled a disqualification. So you have to assume the next week we'll get some more follow-up on this. But we're all supposed to be stunned that oh my gosh, Mace and T-Bar are secret, you know, that's what they look like. And this is the first time actually that they had been seen without their masks on TV. But for months now, most people have known that they are Dominik Dijakovic.
And it's not even just that. It's the fact that, like, they didn't even really say, like, oh, it's Dominik Dijakovic. They're just like, this is the first time we're seeing this guy's face on TV. Like, it's just silly to me that they're not. Because usually when things like that happen, like, for example, back when they did the luchador that was Mickey James, and she unmasked, and they're like, oh, it's Mickey James. But tonight they weren't like, oh, this is D.O. Madden or anything like that. They just, maybe they'll get to that point, but they're not there yet. It was silly. I think the whole entire thing they did with the Hurt Business was just to set up to this moment, and that was it. I saw people saying, let's keep them unmasked. I do think they probably will stay unmasked now. Will they stay as a tag team? That's another question to be asked. Will they retain their names, T-Bar and Mace? That's also to be determined. I personally hope they go back to their NXT names. D.O. Madden, I don't think he's the caliber of a talent to stay on Raw, though, as a singles guy. Dominic obviously is. He could do it very well. But I don't know. Let's see where they take it. I don't think they're affiliated with the Hurt Business. I think last week was kind of fans jumping the gun. Like, you're the one that said last week on the show, you know, I don't want to jump the gun and say they're a part of Hurt Business. Looks like you were right. That's not the case. So credit on that one.
Thank you. It is interesting that, it's funny because my first thought was like, all right, they're just going to show back up next week with their mask on. And, you know, in some ways, that's just my standards and expectations being drastically lowered for Raw these days. But I would be very happy if they did stay unmasked, you know, where from the start, this mask for T-Bar has always been pretty silly. Even if they keep the names, at least the mask is a step in the taking the mask off and keeping them off is a step in the right direction. But while we're on the subject, Benjamin A. Jones wondering, where's Slapjack, legendary future Hall of Famer Slapjack? Well, Slapjack, or Shane Thorne, he's reportedly, alongside Reckoning or Mia Yim, is moving to SmackDown. So at least, you know, we saw it at Fastlane. Retribution broke up. They attacked Mustafa Ali. They were kind of gone for a couple weeks, and they're in the Andre Battle Royale. Now we got this angle of this thing with Drew McIntyre. But the rest of Retribution is kind of going in the new direction. I would assume if we are getting, you know, unmasked Dijakovic and Diomed at this point, maybe we'll see kind of repackaging or a new direction in this way for I should say Shane Thorne and Mia Yim. I would hope, especially Mia Yim, someone that could be a great asset to the SmackDown Women's Division, you know, as Mia Yim. And I think they could make a Reckoning work, you know, I guess on her own, but I'm not very hopeful about it. I mean, there is that kind of, I think someone commented last week that Retribution like stink. You know, there's the theory that MVP could kind of get that stink off of Mason T-Bar. If you move Megan to SmackDown, don't even just move on. Just let her be yourself, and she'll do great, especially in you know, this. And if she moves to SmackDown, she's going to be alongside Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks, Carmella. There's a very good division that could definitely use her for even more depth. I think that'd be very good for her as well. But I do want to talk about Randy Orton and Riddle. I mean, my gosh. So as I said, we were supposed to get Randy Orton and Braun Strowman tonight. As always, card is subject to change. So we did not get that match. I assume we'll get it sooner rather than later. It's
Never.
probably something that, you know, maybe, you know, it's one of the they tweeted that it's a first time match, probably one of the few things that, the one of the few first time matches that they've got available on Raw at this point. So that would definitely be something cool to see. But instead, we got Riddle and Randy Orton. John, I've never rooted so hard for someone to get punted. When Riddle, like, he was on his scooter and he like rolled up to Randy Orton, and this time he added a sound effect where he was like, I
Oh
was like,
boy.
my gosh, like, what are we doing? And then I'm like, the whole time I'm just rooting. I'm like, I didn't think it was gonna happen, but even if he didn't get punted, I just wanted to see, like, I want to see Orton win, just to, like, you know, beat him up and like get a good win. It was a great, as Herman Takara is saying, it was a great match. These guys delivered. This was, I think, during the first hour, and
Yes.
it was pretty rough, John. I think you said overall the show kind of got better as it went on. First hour was pretty rough. It was a lot of replay.
RK bro.
Yeah. Okay. Like, there, you know, there he had jokes. Riddle has jokes. Fine. It was a good match. The Wacky Warrior saying that Riddle's one of the best things on Raw right now. So hey, Riddle's got his fans.
Oh my gosh. The fact that he won this match blows my mind and makes me think even twice as much as I did last week that Randy Orton is taking time off very soon. Now, obviously, everybody's tweeting, you know, he's untouchable. He can't look bad by losing to anybody, and I get that. He's 14-time champion. If he loses, it's okay. And yes, it helps Riddle. But I agree with the other people saying, why was Riddle getting destroyed the past 4 weeks if he was going to beat Randy Orton? Like, what direction are they going with Riddle right now? Because it's clear he's going to stay as this kind of dopey Dan babyface character, and he's obviously done with Sheamus. He's not getting Bobby Lashley. So what's next for Riddle? I mean, his moniker the last couple of weeks slash months has been basically trying to find somebody that wants to team up with him, but nobody wants to team up with him. I mean, the New Day has teased that maybe they want to team up with him, but that's just all inside jokes, really. But he's done this with Keith Lee. He's done this with Braun Strowman. He's done this with Randy Orton. And I think he's even done this with Drew McIntyre about, you know, oh, and he did it with Kalisto before he was gone. Let's
Right.
be a team, that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I mean, where do you think they're going? Like, who's he going to team up with? I mean, and not just who's he going to team up with, what's he going to do, period, now?
I mean,
Pete
I
Dunne,
don't
Luke
know.
says Pete Dunne.
That'd be something, right? I mean, again, there are always jokes about WWE not having long-term storytelling, but hey, if they brought back, you know, Pete Dunne, run back the Broser weights, that's, I guess that'd be something better than what we've been getting. You know,
I'm
Michael.
just shocked that he won because you would have to think that Orton is definitely taking time off. I mean, that's been the rumor the past like 3 weeks, and it seems to be the direction they've been going with him. I mean, it clearly feels like him and Wyatt are done. I mean, that's the vibe I get.
Now, it is worth noting Bray Wyatt not on the show tonight. We got Alexa Bliss. We'll talk about her, but just to wrap up with Riddle
You know
here,
who else we didn't get tonight, which I've
the
seen a
tag team
lot of people
champions.
comment. Yeah.
Ridiculous. We'll talk about that as well. I mean, that is weird. I don't want to, again, don't want to speculate, Wonder if something's going on there. I don't know.
That's what I was going to. I don't want to speculate either, but I have to also think that something must be going on, whether it be injury or COVID or
I know,
something.
and that would be terrible. You won the titles WrestleMania, and you're not there for 2 weeks.
I mean, it's already been revealed that AJ already had it like in October, so obviously he doesn't have it. I mean, it would have to be Omos of anybody, but again, that's all speculation. But I mean, maybe an injury if that would be the case. But I mean, the fact that we haven't even seen them mentioned, period,
It's
is
very
kind of
weird.
troublesome. They haven't even
Oh yeah.
mentioned.
It's bizarre to me. To wrap up about Riddle here, friend of the show Nando saying, I want to see Riddle on SmackDown, have him less goofy, and have a feud with Nakamura. I've been saying for a while now, I really want to see a less goofy Riddle. That way he'd be, I mean, for me at least, maybe I sound like a crotchety old man, but I'd tolerate him a little more. Because, like, again, sometimes the jokes land and it's fun. Sometimes I'm sitting there wanting to, like, pound my head on the desk. Like tonight again, he's zooming by on his scooter and making a little sound effect. He comes out with the birds now with his entrance graphics, and it's just bizarre. And we were talking about the United States Championship. Riddle lost that to Sheamus at WrestleMania. If you're getting, John, where you were talking, if Randy was gonna take, if that's been kind of assumed or in the rumor mill, or let's say that is true, right? Let's say that Randy Orton will be taking time off. I would assume WWE would know that he plans to. Then why not, like, build Riddle up here, have him score this big win over Randy Orton, like, I don't even know how many time world champion at this point, future Hall of Famer, and then use that to kind of springboard Riddle as something better than ever, right? Like, sometimes it seems so easy, and they don't do these things, and, like, I don't know what they're doing. But speaking of the United States Championship, we did not see the Raw Tag Team Champions tonight. We did see Sheamus returned, saying that he, and kind of following in the tradition of the United States Championship, he was saying it was a new and open challenge. Out comes Humberto Carrillo, and then instantly I thought, this man is either going to get absolutely demolished, or maybe he'll get an upset, win here, and they'll try it again with Humberto, a guy that was one of the featured guys during the Paul Heyman era of Raw, and then he kind of faded into obscurity. This was an absolute mauling. Sheamus destroyed this man. It wasn't even really a match. He just kind of beat him up and then dropped him a brogue kick. So, I was funny because I thought, like, oh, if a show that could use some, like, some fresh blood, some new characters, some new faces here, just, jobbed him out to Sheamus,
What
and then we
happened is exactly what I thought was going to happen, so I'm not surprised there, and I have no complaints. It was a little odd to me how people kind of seemed very excited when he first came out. Like, I mean, I remember like fans like me and you are basically the reason that this guy left in the first place because they tried to give him a chance, but it just didn't work. Now, obviously, like Luke says in the comments, it goes back to the booking here, but it's still he wasn't getting over with fans. And now he comes back after pretty much over a year of being just in 24/7 segments, which we haven't seen that either, or stuff like that. And then he comes out tonight, and there was no doubt in my mind that what happened is what was going to happen. And then I see people, a lot of people commenting, like, well, what is this all building up to? And what they mean by that is Sheamus is going to build himself up as this huge heel, basically like a. The United States Sheamus is the equivalent to the Bobby Lashley WWE champion, except Sheamus is in a little bit of a smaller role. But the question that everybody's asking is who will Sheamus be fed to? And the general thought seems to be that when Keith Lee comes back, he'll be the one to feud with Sheamus and dethrone him. But we have no idea what's going on with Keith Lee right now because there's obviously something he's admitted. There's something going on with him. I wrote an article on this yesterday on WrestleZone. He doesn't want to say what it is yet, but he said that he will at some point. So it seems semi-serious, but it'll be interesting to see. We know what it is, but what do you think? Who is Sheamus going to be quote unquote fed to?
I've got to think Keith Lee. I very much hope that he'll come back. He'll be healthy. He's dealing with something. It's some, I believe the report was some unknown medical issue. Don't know what, and I obviously don't want to speculate as to what that is. But I've got to think that that's kind of the play here. You know, put the title on the up-and-coming guy. Granted, that's what they did with Riddle, but apparently that wasn't really the plan, because that was supposed to be Keith Lee's spot, reportedly. And then, you know, Keith Lee wasn't able to be there at Elimination Chamber, so they had to kind of call this audible, gave Riddle this run, and then decided to put the title on Sheamus. So at this point, I'm going to assume that, you know, Sheamus will have it for a while. And then, you know, definitely a lot of support for Keith Lee here becoming the next champion. Also, Damian Priest may be a wild card there.
He's comment. I do like Damian Priest as a possibility.
I do want to point out, like, it is, to me, just crazy, the difference in how Riddle and Priest are presented, where, like, Riddle is this joke. I won't be harsh, but, you know, he's presented as this very
Dopey,
like,
Dan.
Dopey Dan. I love it. Trademark John Clark, Dopey Dan. And then, you know, that's, and again, some people love that, and that's fine. Like, you can, everybody has their own taste. But then Damian Priest, you know, tonight he was out there dropping quips about Jake Paul, and he was, you know, he's very, like, likable, and he's growing on me. He's grown on me a lot since NXT. Tonight was definitely another step in the right direction, because now, I mean, I will say it felt like, well, this WrestleMania program, he was kind of in the back seat of Bad Bunny here. And now he's kind of in the forefront, and now he's feuding with The Miz, former WWE champion. That's very good for him. And he beat The Miz tonight, I should say. He was not pinned by a man in his underwear like last week. Now he did win. So that's, you know, a big win for him. And I'm hopeful that, you know, granted, he is on the older side, but so is Riddle. So, you know, relatively. So there's definitely room for him to have him be to get a U.S. title run, at least. Hermit Dakar here, with an interesting comment. What if Keith Lee moves to SmackDown, challenges Apollo Crews? It's possible. John, we were talking about possibly doing a shakeup, you know, at some point soon, or if we want to look even further, maybe the draft. That is a long ways off, so who even knows what will be happening around then. Demetrios Duvriz, sorry for mispronounce that, saying hopefully they don't screw up Damian Priest. I agree. I think, I mean,
so far so good.
So far, so good, you know. And I will say, in a lot of ways, like when they first got called Riddle up, and Keith Lee as well, like a lot of times these guys come up and they're presented very well, and then the wheels kind of fall off, and it's unfortunate, where it's like you can kind of see the trajectory, and then it's just gone. You know, I don't know, like it's the inconsistent booking, and it just falls apart, and that's unfortunate. I'm hopeful there will be exceptions here, especially with Damian Priest. Nando here with an interesting comment, saying Priest has an edge. Like, I don't know if he's saying edge like the edge, or if he's saying he has an edge to him, but maybe both, right? And he's got that edge as in, like, a, you know, I guess as a description, and then you can also compare him to Edge, the regular superstar. Kind of a little double entendre there. No, he's got that star appeal to him. He's got that, I'll say, an it factor. I think, you know, if they play the cards right, even as a, you know, relatively short, maybe, like, let's compare him to Batista, a guy that kind of came in to WWE pretty later, you know, in his life. I guess he was, I think, late 30s or so, but he has still had a good couple years ish. I'm roughly remembering that. Priest, I think, is late 30s as well.
And I believe he's 38. Yeah, yes, so, he is 38.
But, you know, so in theory, especially, you know, we've seen guys like, you know, Edge now is a good example as well. Like, he's up there very much so, and he had 10 years of his career taken away from him.
I mean, AJ's, you know, in his 40s too.
Yeah, so, you know, wrestling is very much this industry where you can have a good run. You know,
it's trending up, if you've noticed that. The average median age of the roster, which this might not be a good thing, over the past 10, 15 years on Raw, the average median age of the superstar has gone up pretty high. I mean, it used to be in the high to lower 30s. Now the average age is like 35, 36, 37. So, I mean, it's getting up there, which, like I said, it could be a good or it could be a bad thing. Most people would probably think it's a bad thing. But,
I mean, it is worth noting that, you know, back at, I think it was Elimination Chamber, they had that Elimination Chamber match for the WWE title. All of those got, I think, everyone but AJ, I believe, was in WWE in 2011, 10 years ago. And so they literally, if you think, just...
No, granted, there was no NXT back then either. I mean, I guess you could say there was Florida Championship Wrestling, but that's nowhere near the same thing that NXT is at now. So,
right. So, you know, that, yeah, I mean, pros and cons, right? A lot of the time, you look at some of these guys that are, you know, up there in age, you know, whether it's AJ, Damian Priest, like there's still very much ways that you can kind of build them into quote unquote new stars, even though they're not spring chickens, for lack of a better word. Like there's very much a way to, you know, age isn't just a number. Let's roll with that. Let's be optimistic and say that. You know, I think that Damian Priest could be very, very good thing for Raw in the short term, in the medium term. And hey, if they play the cards right, you know, for a couple of years even. One more thing here that we haven't touched on yet. Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax. We definitely saw potentially a little tease of a breakup here.
Were planted.
The seeds were planted, John. Yes, they were. We saw... Almost mixed them up. Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose distracted Nia Jax during a match here. Well, this kind of like bullying angle where like Nia Jax kind of bullied them last week. Now they're bullying her. Everyone's a bully. It's not a good time. And then they were showing these clips of you know Nia Jax and they're of them beating her up last week during her match. She walks out. Shayna Baszler gets pinned by Lana and Naomi. Now we had this match you know start and I was like oh you know they kind of dropped the ball with Natalya and Tamina here with the women's tag titles. Maybe they'll kind of put roll with Lana and Naomi. It kind of seems like they could at least challenge. So Lana and Naomi pinned Shayna Baszler here. Not a good look for her. But then she was definitely upset as Jess Mata here saying some cracks in the team. Because then Shayna confronted Nia Jax backstage and said, like, you know, pay attention or else. So it definitely seems like we might be seeing, you know, John, you said that the seeds are planted. Jess Mata said some cracks in the team. I've got to think, you know, we're not too, I mean, granted, I've been saying this for a while now, but now it seems like we might actually be getting the actual split here, long overdue. And I hope to see that happen. Maybe a WrestleMania Backlash. I think that'd be a good place for it. Give the titles to Lana and Naomi. Just, you know, I want to see them win WrestleMania anyway, so I'd be pretty happy with that. What do you think, John? What do you think that they should do with this team and the titles?
I still think the direction they're going is Tamina and Natalya, but I don't understand why they're involving themselves into basically three feuds at once. To me, it's clear Tamina and Natalya are next in line, and maybe they're using the Raw side of things either just to give those ladies something to do, or that's the seed they're planting to break up Nia and Shayna. I do believe they'll go back, because if you remember, they're still due to have one one-on-one match yet. This kind of goes back to the Cesaro and Sheamus thing. They had the best of seven, but then they got together before the seventh. I think they're still due a one-on-one match, and I think they'll have that. So that's where I think they're going to go with that.
I mean, I wonder if we'll see, you know, it's WrestleMania Backlash. It's Run It Back season. So maybe we'll see, you know, we got the tag team turmoil match WrestleMania. So maybe we'll see this like triple threat match with all three teams, and then kind of see this implosion, and like you just said, see this eventual, you know, one-on-one match, and then finally move on. DJ Cassier going in a different direction, saying maybe Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke will be the next women's tag team champions. I just don't see it. We've seen these two as a team for months now. They're doing their best, but I don't see it. I don't know.
I don't either.
Something's not working. Especially, at least for like for the champions. They could be a team. Yeah. And that's fine. But
not a chance that happens. So.
Yeah, I don't see that. Unfortunately, they're both very talented. They're great. But Nesh Kerr saying that she definitely thinks Natalya and Tamina will be the next tag team champions, and I have to agree. And now, you know, now we're wondering what will happen next. You know, Jesse Mata saying he sees Baszler leaving Jackson to go for the Raw title once Ripley kind of puts, you know, her feud with Flair away for good. I think that'd be a great feud. We saw Run Back what they did in NXT. That was a very good feud. I'd like to see that for sure. And then you've also got Money in the Bank there, so maybe the team breaks up and then they kind of contend for the Money in the Bank ladder match, or potentially kind of put them both in it and see who wins. But yeah, there's definitely, I think I like that option. We were just talking earlier in the show about making Rhea Ripley, she seems to be kind of a face now. So then you bring up this very dominant heel Baszler, as I've been hoping to see for a while. Give that feud, you know, and as we said earlier, you know, we have this three-way feud of Asuka, Charlotte, Flair. You build up Rhea Ripley here, and then you kind of maximize the effectiveness of this feud with Shayna Baszler, that seems like a winning recipe to me. I mean, whether it's, I don't know if that's necessarily SummerSlam worthy, but, you know, maybe, John, you said earlier, if we see this feud of Charlotte and Rhea being stretched out between, you know, Extreme Rules and Money in the Bank or so, maybe later in the year, if they kind of play the long game and, you know, build Baszler up more. And now again, just kind of bring it full circle, we're talking about Alexa Bliss as well. They've got options, you're right. And especially if we've got this three-way match right now, and then, you know, these other options with Bliss and Baszler and other things as well. So that, you know, pretty quickly here, their all women's division is becoming one of the highlights of the show. We got some kind of mixed comments about the overall quality of tonight. I will say the first hour was very, you know, it was a lot of replay from last week, and then the show kind of picked up. Then we got this, you know, it was a good main event, then you know, Charlotte snapped. A mixed bag. I admit I'm biased. I really wanted to see Randy Orton beat Riddle, and when he didn't, I was really disappointed. Oh, we didn't even talk about Alexa Bliss. We should talk about that real quick. Alexa Bliss was on the show. Bray Wyatt was not. Nothing. I mean, it was Alexa's playground. She talked more about Lily. Wow, she said that this doll was photoshopped into like Alexa's childhood photos, and she said that she's had this doll her whole life, and it's been this influence on her. And you know, when she doesn't like someone, or when Lily doesn't like someone, the doll tells Bliss to hurt them. So apparently, Lily didn't. I'm just recapping this. Lily didn't like the Fiend, so Alexa Bliss did something, and now the Fiend is gone, supposedly. And then she said this promo, that, you know, it was basically the point was, you know, Alexa Bliss was made clear. She's kind of re-entering the mix here with the women's division. So I see that as a very good thing for the women's division and for Alexa Bliss. I've been hoping to see her be more active as a wrestler here. And then there was one funny line where Alexa said something like, she was some like childhood story about how Lily told her to like push someone off a swing when they like took her ice cream cone, and she broke her arm, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Alexa wanted to eat the ice cream cone, but the quote unquote bitch would not share, so she pushed her off the swing, and then the teacher asked her why she did it, and her answer to why she did it was because she didn't like her or something, or she wanted,
because Lily told me to.
Yeah, even though she doesn't like strawberry ice cream, she still wanted the ice cream anyway. I don't know.
Oh man, that was like one of the lines of the night. Like like you said, I'm like quality. What, push the little bitch off the swing? I was like, whoa. And it's worth pointing out that was the second B word drop of the night. We have Asuka dropped it when she was talking to Charlotte Flair. Definitely going edgy here. You know, I don't know, you know, you can, your mileage will vary, but it's always like, oh, didn't see that coming. John, every week, you know, John Clark here, he wrote a feature about his experience at WrestleMania, the first live show in over a year. He was there in person. He was our boots on the ground. Make sure to check it out. Every week I say I'm going to write a feature about defending The Fiend and Alexa Bliss and everything here, because I've enjoyed it a lot. And every week I just... the energy gets like sapped out of me, because like I was this close to finally pulling the trigger on it for WrestleMania, I think like right before it, but like I was pretty on board with it.
then afterwards,
you know, then that happened, but then Alex Bliss, I liked how they explained it. They brought Lily in. I was like, all right, kind of like Annabelle, kind of cool. You know, there are plenty of horror movie connections. I like it. I don't know, because like it's almost like what's the point of defending this, because like they're so bad, so they're so much bad. Like Alexa Bliss is doing some like great work, but I don't know, like
gotta give your rating on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I love kind of transitioning here. I like what Alexa Bliss is doing. I like this, but at the same time, kind of overall here, I'm just not confident in like where we're going. Like when you're talking about Riddle beating Randy Orton, don't know what's the point of that. Like, you know, if the plan was for knowing Randy Orton's gonna take time off, you know, you would think they'd build out that better. Nesha Kurtz giving it a 7. We got a 2, we got a 3. You know, man, we got in some low ratings here. I didn't think it was that bad. Demetrios Duvriz, if I'm pronouncing that right, I'm sorry. With a 7, Stephen Chambers with a 5. You know, again, there's that like sliding scale where it's Raw. So it's hard to be too harsh. It's hard to be like too generous. I'll go for a 7. DJ Kessler over 9. What do you think, John? Share your thoughts on the ratings here. We got 6s and 6.5s.
I'm going to go with a 6.
Ooh, 6. Why? What's your reasoning for that?
Just because I think last week I gave it a 5.75. This week I give it a 6. It was obviously a little better than last week, and that's kind of sad to say because that was the Raw after Mania. There was some progression tonight. I like what they're doing with Sheamus. No Bobby Lashley tonight, which was a little weird. And again, still no mention of the tag team champions either. Also weird. Let's just see. I mean, they're obviously the next name, WrestleMania Backlash, that pay-per-view, that says it all. They're basically recycling a lot of these feuds or adding like one person into the mix. But yeah, we're going to go with the 6.
I mean, I think a 6 is fair. I mean, for me, I gave it a 7 because last week was such a letdown. I was pretty much just like begging for any improvement tonight, and the fact that it was better. Again, I agree with all the choices, you know, with Randy Orton losing to Riddle and the way the way they went about it. And then, you know, the main event, it was a good match. Granted, kind of a little bit of a cop out with this, you know, suspension thing. Nando was given the 6. We got a 5 here. Good matches, and you know, nothing like appalling, like necessarily like last week. This was, like you said, John, some more progression and a little, you know, it was a step back in the right direction. You know, whereas last week it was like easy to kind of be a naysayer of like, oh man, this is really bad. But I like this. I mean, I'm not really looking forward to WrestleMania Backlash at this point, because it is really, you know, it is WrestleMania Backlash. It is very much a show full of rematches here, and that's what Jesse Mata is saying. Raw kind of will remain kind of stagnant. He says mid tier. I'm gonna say stagnant until after Backlash, because then if you're kind of recycling these feuds, SmackDown's running into a similar problem where it's a lot of repeat, and then after that we can kind of see what happens next, because then you're gonna see hopefully some new feuds there. Hopefully it's what happens. We've still got a couple weeks here to see, you know, how these next couple weeks unfold, what does happen to Backlash, what WrestleMania Backlash, sorry. We'll have to wait and see. I'm gonna, again, always try to be kind of generous in terms of, you know, giving the benefit of the doubt, even though it's Raw, even though we always get, you know, not always, often get let down. I'm hopeful and I try to be optimistic. Nando with a creative suggestion here. WWE Revenge would be a good name for Backlash. I mean, they got Payback, so I don't think they can do Revenge, because like it does seem like they hesitate to do anything too redundant. But you know, that I like the idea. I mean, Revenge is a good name. I think WCW had a video game or an event like that back in the day. But that's not here or there. WrestleMania Backlash will be, again, just about a month. So we got plenty of time for that. In the meantime, here at WrestleZone, we will have you guys covered with many post shows, whether it's this show for Raw. John and I do the NXT post show on Tuesdays, and NXT's on Tuesdays. The Dynamite Dudes of Attitude do AEW coverage. They've got you guys covered for that. We've got you covered with a SmackDown Double Down on Fridays with myself and Robert DeFelice. The pay-per-view post shows, we've got countless great interviews. Bill Pritchard just interviewed Paul White, The Big Show. You gotta check that out. Great get for us. He also interviewed a bunch of ECW legends as well. And Mikey Whipwreck being one of them. Make sure to check it out. Tons of great stuff coming to you guys. And as always, we it's available wherever you want to be, wherever you want to find it, whether it's Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, whatever it may be. More streaming services than I can even think to mention at almost midnight.
VHS. On night.
VHS. Maybe not. Maybe not that. pretty much everything but that. But make sure to leave a like, subscribe, show your support. We definitely appreciate it. We thank you for listening. And again, Raw tonight was a step in the right direction. But even when Raw's bad, John, we do one thing above all others, and that I need you to tell me what that is.
We try our best to do this. Sometimes it can be hard, but we enjoy the wrestling.
Indeed.